The church celebrates the feast of the Nativity, or the birth of John the Baptist, on June 24th today. And it does so because there is something that is indispensable and something that is timeless about the role of John the Baptist. There's a certain permanence that is displayed in John's life, which was a life of preparation. John lived a life dedicated wholeheartedly of preparing himself and preparing everyone he met for another, for our Lord, Savior, and Messiah. And realizing that he needed to find a place where this searing love of God, which was ablaze within him as sense of mission, so that it would remain a priority, and needing a place to be able to focus intently on that, he settles in the desert. He didn't go there because of the low cost of housing. He went there because he knew that the distractions would be less and he could be more about the task that he had received. What does John do in the desert? Well, here's what he doesn't do. He doesn't become a recluse. What he does is just the opposite. He becomes deeply involved in the innermost life of people, people who come to him. John helps others do what? To hold on to their ideals, to keep alive their hope, to elevate their aspirations in life. John's task is to help raise the expectations of others who have been defeated and discouraged in their own daily living. God sends John to them to help them escape the doldrums of indifference, the mediocrity of apathy, to help them escape by inspiring them to receive God's plan. I was reminded this week, in anticipation of this feast, of a magnificent work of art by Matthias Grunewald, a 16th century German Renaissance painter, whose greatest work and his largest work is called The Crucifixion. It depicts the crucifixion of Christ. It is displayed in a museum, now a museum in France, in Alsace. And curiously, in this painting, there are the figures of Our Lady, beloved disciple, and John the Baptist. And curious is John the Baptist because you'll recall right away, hold it, Herod killed him. He was martyred before Jesus died. And of course, you're correct. The artist here, as interpreter, is not giving us a historically accurate here's who was there depiction, but it's meant to be symbolic. It's meant to be instructive that the Baptist is there to be able to indicate to us his mission. And as we look more closely upon the Baptist, it's almost a contorted figure that sort of, it's as if every cell in his body is directed to the finger, which is directed to the one to whom he is pointing, that his mission in life and his sole task is to point to the crucified Lord. It's as if he's saying, don't take your eyes off of him. Now, and here's the point for me. God always puts a John the Baptist into our lives. God sends to us, to you and to me, someone whose witness makes our desert bloom like a rose. I was recalling many such John the Baptist figures in my own life, and one of them that has been most pronounced is someone about whom I've spoken. My great uncle, my grandfather's youngest brother, who happened to become a priest, Father Rolland, and how his was a witness to me that was steady that was sure, that was constant, that was simple, that was always approachable, that was prayerful. And I think most compelling to me, he was joyful. I'm not talking about the crazy stuff that's over the top, kind of like, you know, get out of my face. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the deep joy that when you meet someone like that, you want to spend time with them because you know they found it and whatever it is, which I didn't know for a long part of my life. I just knew that I wanted it that he had found. And maybe if I spent time with him, maybe I'd catch it. Yeah, that's how the John the Baptist figures work in our lives. And leads me to ask, what John the Baptist has God put into your life?